is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon. Welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands, along with...
My name is Debbie Deal.
And we are from the Bahamian Contractors Association.
We are.
And I think we should say that first, because sometimes people think we're just Debbie Deal and Leonard Sands.
Yeah.
But I am the chairman, president of the Bahamian Contractors Association, and Debbie... Your official title?
I am the Vice Chairman, Vice President of the BCA. Yes.
And for those who may be tuning in for the first time and not understanding what the organization acronym stands for, that is Bahamian Contractors Association. That's Bahamian Contractors Association, established in 1958. So this organization has been around for a very long time, predating both of us. And it is mainly focused on promoting, advancing the best practices in construction for the entire Commonwealth of Bahamas. Now, that being said, I have to be completely honest again. I wasn't feeling it today because we had a guest that I was very excited about for them to come in and share some exciting news for contractors. But circumstances beyond our control, they had to cancel at the last minute. Didn't get enough of the information from the bosses to move forward with being on the show. But that being said, Debbie and I was talking off air. I have to go there all the time. The wheels that turn this country simply move too slow. Like I was saying, I'm trying to get back some property papers for paid off mortgage on a property. Since November 2024, the documents have still not completed being recorded from the Register Department in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. This is the same place that we think, and I often joke about it, we're the same country that thinks we should have the same conversation America has. We're the same country that thinks our leaders should be in the same public spaces and have debates and conversations that places like China has. And Japan, and Tokyo, and Singapore. No, we need to sit small and be the little third world nation that we are until we figure some basic stuff out. Now, I'm not demeaning the country except for putting us properly where we are. I think if I were to tell you I'm good enough to go to the NBA and be a star, I am thinking way too highly of myself. See, that's being honest. Mm-hmm. In the same way, I want us to be honest about where we are. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, it gives us a better understanding of where we need to be. But lying to ourselves and then lying to the public and then lying to children about where we think we are is how we end up with a nation that has the potential to do great things, but in reality, do very little of it. And I know there are going to be people who know me on Facebook and they can come at me and say all kind of minor things and I yawn, whatever. The reality is I audit what I see. So let's give an example of construction and auditing. I made mention that, and I have no issue, he's a great guy, we laugh and talk all the time, but if I'm telling you that, hey, in your constituency, there's a water resources plant that the grass and the trees has overgrown the building, and that was happening for nearly 3 years, that's how it got so high. And I noticed that you didn't notice that. You're going to have a difficult time convincing me that you could have a conversation about with me about how to manage things. Because you couldn't manage what's in front of your door. Mm-hmm. Don't come and try to tell contractors how we manage things. Let's go deeper. You're telling me that A&E started from the Minnis administration. This is almost the end of the Davis administration, and the new A&E is still not open yet. We can't have a conversation honestly.
But you're going to build a new hospital in the swamp.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That's another thing. But you see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I'm not that way. You can't have a conversation with me about deficiency and management of things when we, the public, audit what you are doing.
You know what?
Hurricane shelter. Hold on. We got another hurricane coming,
yeah.
Debbie.
It's not ready yet.
That's just the last one. There's another hurricane on the way.
Yeah.
And guess what? The hurricane shelter, which started 5 years ago,
is still not done. Yeah.
Leadership cannot talk to people who witness their failures.
Private sector has a challenge dealing with government because we can't work slow.
We can't work slow enough to work with them.
If you needed to, right now, build something on the property that you purchased, or needed to when you paid it off and said, listen, I want my papers, right? Then this is an entire year that you've lost in rent.
Yep.
Because
or opportunity or anything else.
Because if you'd been able to build it within, let's say, 6 weeks of something like getting your papers. I mean, how long? You take the papers to your lawyer, and your lawyer submits everything. You have to do your title and all that kind of stuff, the inland revenue and all that stuff. But really, that's a whole year.
A whole year.
And you're still nowhere even close enough to even submit a building permit application because you can't really say that this is your property yet because you don't have the document to show that you own the document.
It's crazy.
Private sector would starve. We would all be out of business. We'd all be on the side of the road asking for money.
Yes. And this
I know a good corner.
Debbie, this is why it infuriates people who are from the private sector.
That's hard.
When we
for
hear
us.
Government
and,
sector people talk about how they get this thing right
and they don't
let us show you how to do it. Do
and
what?
They don't understand why it's so hard for us to understand that. They really don't understand that. They don't see.
They don't get it.
Because they're not working for themselves.
No.
If you don't get money, bring your money, own money in, you can't eat or sleep or pay your mortgage or anything.
No. So efficiency is how the private sector breathes. We do it quickly, we do it professionally, and we do it fast.
And if we don't, you'll find us out of business in 3 months.
That's it.
Right?
We got a call, Debbie.
Well,
let's
I think
take
we
this call.
Take it.
Calling you live. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm going to piggyback on your last point, and I'm going to tell you the other reason why I called in.
Okay.
As you said, private sector has to get it done. And also, if you don't get in your revenue, then you can't pay your other bills.
No.
Correct.
I know of a living example where a live had a disturbance one evening, and I had to take my daughter to another location, to her sister's home, to get internet to get her assignment done for the night at UB.
Wow.
But even when I was returning home,
I'm so sorry.
Close after midnight, a live team was on the spot.
Wow.
Rectifying the problem. Instantly the same day.
That is fantastic.
Wish I had that.
That is fantastic. But that's a private company. You call you
correct,
understand
correct,
that's
correct,
a,
correct.
So the
I mean,
mindset
you,
is different.
They
the
would,
mindset.
They would charge you a $5 late fee if you're a minute late after midnight in the payment, but I give them that kudos that they
responsive
to the problem.
Absolutely.
So the reason why I call when I came into the room, my radio is always on, and I heard about the flood and the swamp. My question is, why, because I'm suffering from that, not myself directly, but indirectly, but family member. Why are people allowed to build, in other words, below sea level? Now, there are some places where you can build below sea level because provision is made to drain the water and to prevent the water from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a coppice. This is an area where creatures live. Creatures and birds live in this area. Are they going to relocate all of the, where are they going to go when this happens?
But you see, persons have cut down a lot of hills. New Providence had a lot of hills.
I know. There goes our hurricane protection.
And gone to profit selling quarry on the side of one house and the other house. So you can see that houses are at a certain level, even after the hills have been cut down. And yet people go digging deeper and then they're building in the valley.
Do we need any more lakes? Don't we have enough with Lake Cunningham and Lake Dancy and all
the Percy.
Yeah, and Miller's Pond. And Carl, you brought up a valid point. Mm-hmm. So the question is, and that's a very good question, why do we, and we you're referring to, is either the government agency with the town planning, allow persons to build in swamp, i.e. wetland, i.e. land that is not really great for residential structures? And I think that's a question that we could pose to Mr. Keenan Johnson, who is the chairman of the town planning committee.
I know why they're doing it, because they want to cut down some more of our hill to be able to fill that whole area in.
Yeah, because you have to fill it in, too.
To build on nothing.
Yeah. So maybe he could speak more to it, and I will certainly reach out to him. Again, you know what? I know where he's going to be this afternoon, and we probably have to have a chat and invite him to come on the show, because he's not been a guest on the show, and he's very I would say this about Mr. Johnson. He is not afraid to come on public radio and talk about the things that's related to town planning.
Right.
And so we reach out to him and see if he'd like to be a guest on the show. But caller, thank you very much for your contribution. And
that's the current situation. That's the current situation.
Yeah. Yes.
That's equivalent to Dorian in New Providence.
I believe you're right. And I'm very fearful for the impending storm that we are coming. It's going to dump some rain. So we're going to talk a little bit about solutions for rain. We started last week, but we got to go into some more, because I think this is going to be an ongoing challenge for residents in the province particularly. But thank you for your call.
Yes, thank you. I'm listening to the solution, please.
Awesome. Thanks. Okay. Oh, sorry, Carla. Sorry if I hung you up. Going on to solutions. So you're in a low-lying area already.
Right.
We talked about your floodgate idea situation, which I think is a brilliant idea. I also want to suggest it's a little more costly.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little. But I lie. A little more. You may have to look at... You may have to look at inside your own property, just for your own purpose, installing a drainage well at your cost. It's your property that you want to dewater.
But it's not going to drain just your water. It'll drain everybody's water.
I know, but so...
Especially if you're in an area like we saw those flooded videos where... Lot. Acres and acres and acres and every road in the that. You couldn't even know where the road was because there was so much water.
But you could manage a drain to just, you know, it's going to be working for everyone else after you get yours out.
They're not inexpensive to do.
No, they're not inexpensive.
Especially if you do like a 10-inch.
No, that's costly. Yeah. So that's one suggestion. Yeah. Or the street come together as a cooperative and put a deep well on their street.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to promote that idea over the personal well. You know why? Let's say, for instance, Debbie, what do you think the average cost of a deep well is?
Well, I'd say anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
$10,000, okay.
Yeah.
On an average street that runs about...
And it depends on how far they have to drill down.
Yeah, let's say you want to go deep down into livestock cavities so you can get the water out.
Right, yes.
Let's say, Debbie, that you got 40 persons on your street. And that's small. That's everyone's putting together a couple hundred bucks. You get a deep well. That's a possible long-term solution.
Yes.
So I want us to think about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We got another caller. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Excuse me. God is able to all.
How are you doing, Raymond?
Thank you.
I'm holding, thank God. You know, what I want to ask, right? Speaking of the hills being cutting down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets a lot of people get a portion of that curry.
Mm-hmm. They pay for it. They don't get it free now. You have to pay for it.
They should. But my point is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why somebody or the right person or the government would not take it upon themselves to cut down some reefs for curry?
Some what?
Peltier, you know, it would be better for the Bahamas.
Some reefs, you said?
Yes.
You cut down a reef, which is our main barrier for
hurricanes
to come in?
Well, all you have to do is nobody to cut it from. You know, if you don't cut the ones that are growing.
And it's where fish thrive and where they procreate. I mean,
the fish is always going to find some place to go.
Well, not if you get rid of them. not if you do that. You remember in Bimini when the builder
what you're going to do is cut down all the hills on the land?
No, we shouldn't have to. I'm going to show Leonard some pictures of
everything
sites
would get washed
in
away.
Grand Bahama mm-hmm. where they are sending fill to about 8 different places in Florida and Texas on a daily basis. I'm going to find you pictures.
The person that are doing that to us, they are being dirty.
Well, what annoys me is we're cutting down our hills, but they have enough fill that they can actually dig it up and send it.
Send it over to the country. That's crazy.
That's crazy. I got to find
my
pictures.
Very much so. Anyhow, thank you, Amanda. Thank you for your information.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your call. You know, I don't know. You probably don't want to cut down the reefs, but if we need to get fill from somewhere with us in abundance, we could get it from, but I don't think we should be cutting down any more hills inside Nassau.
No.
Thank you for your call. Debbie, so that's interesting. So you have a photo.
Here, I have to make a photo.
Take a look at this photo, Debbie. What's
three? Start with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then,
oh, wow.
And then there's three of them. Just keep going.
Wow. That is, wow.
Those are the places that they're sending it to.
Hmm. Exporting.
Exporting.
From
Grand Bahama. To there.
Wow.
Well, somebody will make good money on it. But
so we have that much.
Apparently, I would think. No wonder Grand Bahama's underwater all the time.
So we got a text message. Mm-hmm. Deep well. What happens in King Tide?
Well, hopefully, if it's deep enough, it shouldn't be that much of an issue. It won't be the kind of issue that it is now with a king tide,
mm-hmm.
because even areas that never flood sometimes have problems.
Yeah,
in
with
a
king tide. But what we're suggesting, Texer, is that. You don't put one. We're not talking with one. So let's talk about a typical street. Let's talk about one of the major streets in let's say, an area like Pinewood. Mm-hmm. When I say major streets, I come off East Street and I want to go into Nassau Village. That's a major street.
Okay.
It's a very long street. Probably has about 200 residents on that. Right. Not much. Let's say about 70 residents on that street on either side.
Right.
It's a long street. Imagine if all of them co-op and say, okay, we're not putting one deep well on the street. Let's say at the first third of the street, you put a deep well, the second third, and the third of the street, until you get about 4 locations where deep wells could drain the street. I would argue that that would sufficiently reduce flooding on that street alone. Mm-hmm. Now, what it will do is also take in the excess flooding that's happening on adjoining streets. So to not overload those,
correct.
The next street have to do the same thing,
right.
a third.
Yeah.
So
well,
what we are talking about is solutions that the people could co-op and pay for it. They don't have to wait on government.
Yeah.
It takes some money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you divide, Debbie, do it for me quickly, please, $10,000. It's a quick math for you, please. $10,000 divided by 50 residents. And that's an easy one.
Oh,
then.
That's easy. That's 2,000, isn't it?
No, that's not.
Hang on. What, $10,000?
$10,000.
Yeah.
Divided by 50 residents, $500 each.
Oh, divided by 500.
Yeah, not by 50 residents, just 50.
Oh, well, okay.
It should be 500.
Reduce, yeah, 200.
$200 each. Is that correct?
Well, that's what it says.
$10,000.
$10,000 divided by 50.
Yeah,
$200.
So you tell me right now, it costs you more than $200 when the water comes into your house.
Oh,
your neighbors
to redo your baseboard, get
to do
doors,
redo your baseboard,
cabinetry.
Yep.
New flooring,
furniture,
oh Lord,
carpets,
oh
to,
Lord.
To replace all that costs more than $200. But if you and everyone on your street get together, pitch in $200 in a fund for a deep well, all of that cost is sunk forever. You never have to worry about it again. Come on. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to work everywhere, but I think if residents think holistically, because guess what? Everyone deal with the problem together. It's not just Debbie's house is flooded. Your neighbor, all your house is flooding.
It was 50?
Yeah, 50 residents. Check them out.
Yeah, you're right.
It's $200.
Yeah, that's
I guarantee the person because, you know, this week who lives there spent more than $200 on stuff.
Right. Because think about this. For a group of people who decide they want to have a gate, right? Mm-hmm. They can get gated. But then you have to pay for your garbage pickup, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, there's a trade-off.
There's a trade-off.
A lot of people do the gates because then they feel safer.
Yes.
They feel that if they're, you know, coming home late at night mm-hmm. or something and they've got their zapper, they can push it before they're around the corner mm-hmm. and so the gates are already open and then you drive in and then close it.
And then
so
no one else safer. Will come behind you, yeah.
Right, you know. So there's reasons for doing that. But, I mean, to actually be able to do these wells as mm-hmm. well, I mean, if I rank, I would be approaching subdivisions right now and saying, hey, do you guys want us to help
finance this
and, you know, subsidize this to make sure that this can actually happen? And let's do it now.
Well, now that we brought that point up, mm-hmm. we heard numbers of what it would cost to put in deep wells in Pinewood. Mm-hmm. It's almost $90 million. How did they get to that number?
They're drilling down to Australia.
I don't know. So every time I hear about...
I don't know what they're doing, to be honest.
They
give you...
Every time we hear God proposed to do something...
They give you a figure...
It's two things we know.
This is what we're going to do for drainage, but they don't include anything.
That must be drainage on the entire island.
Well, they have to tell you what they're actually doing to cost
you could
that
not
much
spend
money.
$90 million.
Yeah, but you should
in
do that.
Pinewood,
you know,
on drainage. That's
when you're talking to somebody.
Well, I say that.
And you say, what were you doing last night? Nothing. I mean, amplify.
Debbie, this is why I tell you, and I said it all the time. I'm proudly saying it. When I hear government involvement in anything, mm-hmm. I just shudder. I'm like, oh, Jesus, let's see how they're going to screw this up. Honestly. Because we don't have the record of them. I say this, and let me say this publicly on the radio. The Bahamas, and people in the Bahamas, me, my countrymen, all of us, sometimes we take offense at the foreign investor who comes to this country mm-hmm. and develop things. Now, let me stand in the position of a citizen of this country mm-hmm. and also in the construction space. Mm-hmm. And I can say something on public radio that I need people to listen to. We have to be very careful how we look at the investments that private industry, mostly FDI, makes here. Because I can say this, and I want this to be a sensitive thing, because there's nothing else that you can say to replace what I say. If I take away Bahama, mm-hmm. Atlantis,
mm-hmm. that's it.
Margaritaville, mm. and a couple other places where we go to take pictures, I don't know where y'all can get to take your pictures on Sunday. Every stretch of road that you jump on your car and take your christening pictures and mm-hmm. your engagement pictures mm-hmm. and your birthday pictures was put
Sunday.
There by a private investor. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that to big them up. Yeah. I'm saying it to highlight the fact that our governments have never done something that you have felt proud enough to stand in front of and take a picture of it. That's a fact. Now, I've been on this planet for almost 50 years. And I can't remember going in front of the Ministry of Public Works and taking a family photo. I can't remember going in front of the Ministry of Tourism, the Ministry of anything, a public school. No. From I was a child. You know where we used to go, Debbie? We used to go to Family Gathering property on East Bay Street to take Sunday photos.
Oh,
again,
Anna.
A private business.
Wow.
There's no one public space mm-hmm. that people used to go
yeah.
to take. So I'm not defending mm-hmm. FDI, right. but I appreciate that sometimes there are people who do a better job than making places look good enough for mm-hmm. us to benefit from than we can. So until we fix that, I say again, sit small and give me the examples.
I think we're afraid to ask for help in doing something because you don't want people to think, well, why are you asking a foreigner? Well, if a foreigner has already done this somewhere, why wouldn't you ask them for the roadmap to actually
do it? Just how to do
it. You don't have to recreate every wheel. You really don't.
I had a conversation today with, and I hope that somebody who's calling to challenge me on what I say, or someone who's hopefully going to give me some other place that we did, because I've been here long enough to know, mm-hmm. unless you tell me about 1942, we've been taking pictures in front of things that foreign people built in this country for a long time.
Yeah.
And again, I'm a proud Bahamian, mm-hmm. but I cannot allow us to live in a bubble of falsehood. And I go to the conversation of why construction is important to you mm-hmm. and me and contractors. Mm-hmm. We mostly do most of the fantastic work for people who come here with the ideas of something different than what we see here.
Right.
Because if we have to only live off the public work here, look at the public buildings here. Mm-hmm. Look, I dare say, I know that they're built, but look at the public buildings here.
Right.
None of them strike you as world class.
No, there's a couple
above the norm.
Yeah, there's a couple older ones downtown that
older ones
because they're lovely.
They where well. And when you look at the price tags we spend, mm-hmm. where's the I will blow your socks off? Hey, look at the outside world. Come look at what I built. Nah,
yeah,
it's no. none of that. So right. let's just be honest about where we need help from. Let's be honest about who contributes to this society and how they make what we have here more beautiful.
Because I have to be honest, you see me all the time talking to my best friend, Gilbert, yeah. right? Because if I need to know something or if I need help with something, I'm going to ask. And if that's all I've got is AI, I'm going to ask. The worst that's going to happen is they're going to tell me something I don't like, and then I'll try again.
Let's take this call out there. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Sir Leonard.
That's me right here.
And Debbie Deb.
Debbie Deb.
when I hear her, it's music that makes me dance.
She'll do that sometimes, I'll tell you.
She know Debbie Deb sings that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I call her Debbie Deb. Y'all say collectively $200 a person. That's right. When I chime in, I hear that to drill the deep right. well.
Yeah,
$10,000. What's it? $10,000.
$10,000 divided by 50.
Divided by 50 persons.
Divided by 50 persons.
Yes.
But how much deep well you can get for that?
Only one.
Okay, you can get one.
So that's one.
But you can need more than one deep well.
I know.
But even if you do one now and everybody chips in $200, I'll tell you what, I know people that will go out on a Friday night and blow $200.
$200 easy.
Right? I know that's not everybody,
but it's a lot of people.
Happen, yes. So you go and you do one this month.
Then three months later,
exactly.
You do another $200. You only talk about $200.
Yes.
You do another one. And like we said, you only want to cut the street into thirds. So you only need four of them.
And you can do one of those things where you, what's it called? When you save your money.
Okay. ASU, you do ASU to do deep it. Well.
That would be a great idea. Yeah, let's do ASU
for deep well.
I want to share something with y'all.
Go ahead.
Okay.
With some concept. You know, Ari Cooper State? By Bahamas Baptist College.
I know Bahamas Baptist College, yeah.
Right at the Northern Bend,
mm-hmm.
go in there. That's about 50 homes in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a concept when I told an ex-girlfriend of mine who lived in the back there some years ago, but I'll say 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you live in here, and I said, do you know that if you're all in here, y'all could get this area gated off,
mm-hmm.
number one. I said, and furthermore, you know, I said, 50 y'all in here, if y'all get an contribute every week, so you know y'all could have like an ASU lottery thing in here collectively, and all y'all can get solar energy in here. If you pool your resources like an ASU thing and every week and purchase the panels and slowly get off of the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that didn't go anywhere. I said, you have a party in the back of the yard, you can have them come and have a social and you pitch into that.
And you pitch into it,
the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't go anywhere. I say this to say that when you try to get even families to probably contribute together to get wholesale grocery stuff out of BJ's and the wholesale places in Florida and shipped home to share up, you don't get us people to do things collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And you save, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The general stuff. And that concept, what I said with the solar paneling, and look where we at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look with high electricity
look
bills.
Look what happened with BPL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and still they got issues because Crooked Island is screaming for water off and the PC was off for the past couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
I learned yesterday.
Yeah, you know, me too. I saw
no
it.
Power, right?
They should all have their own well. Mm-hmm. They should all have their own well.
Yeah, but this administration, they cut a BPL like a pizza and shared amongst their friends, and we still screaming here, there, and everywhere. And, but, you know, we have to learn to do things together and concept a deal, debunk it whole, you know. the idea didn't come from someone holding a high position in government, and you can't sell it to them because someone will say, oh, you can start a company and
Make the money for themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty happy with BPL right now. My power has been off in like a year.
Really?
Pardon me?
I said I'm really happy with BPL right now because with the new transmission and distribution, our power has been, I can't remember in the last year when our power was off. I know they, High Vista and them had had trouble, but there was something that else happened in Fox Hill that created that. But I'm elated that this summer, not with the price that we had to pay,
because
that was ridiculous, I'm just saying, to actually...
It has some bright spots.
To have to not worry about whether my generator will work or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleased with what I'm getting so far.
Which island is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which island are you talking about?
New Providence. She's living on these. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know where they started with transmission distribution, so it might be, might not be the same for everywhere, but when they finish, it will be.
Okay, but like in Florida, we will be off electricity, like I call all of us in this country, basically in the world, we are electric. We are electricity junkies or basis.
Mm-hmm.
we can't do without it, right?
No, we can't.
That makes sense, right?
We can't. Mm-hmm. We can't.
Okay, so we need to stop going to the base house.
And
the electrical base
and generate our own stuff.
This concept of, depending on PPL or Freeport power and everything, and using the solar and the battery stuff, because Rigel Island is basically free of it, almost, only a couple of hours. I was told you need a couple, probably another $250,000 for more batteries, and the battery backup will run until early in the morning. You know what I mean? When the panels will kick back in. Minister administration put that in place. But these guys who come in now, they've got another idea to enrich some other people. So that's my contribution. But we have to learn to pull together as a people.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
They will bring foreigners now.
Yeah.
And, the taxes in the long term and give them 25-year contract. And, just the concept, y'all keep up the good work in trying to educate our people. And
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Have a nice
if they have a 25-year contract, they also have the 25-year maintenance contract as well. They have to operate that and maintain it. We are not good at maintaining in the Bahamas. We are not good at maintaining.
Terrible.
I drove past the Ministry of Health building.
Negative
five. That health building on West Street or something?
Yeah, Meeting Street.
Meeting Street, yeah. Like they pulled the plants now out of the gutter, but now they've got to replace the wood because the wood's all rotten now. But if they would do that soon, you don't have to paint the building. Don't worry about paint. That's a Christmas thing. You don't have to do that. Fix the wood.
Fix the wood so it doesn't look so terrible.
Yeah.
Well, we got to go to a break, so Mr. Producer, take us away, and we'll be back after a couple of messages.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the outhouses.
Thank Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches at Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. Debbie, thank our sponsors.
Yes, we would like to thank our sponsors. And like we said before, we are part of the Bahamian Contractors Association. And Bahamian Contractors Association is what puts this show on, thanks to you people. So we have, tonight we have ART Development. And just want to do a little shout out on that. They have opened up ART
Eleuthera.
Yeah, it's a building supplies.
Building supplies, in Eleuthera. Yeah.
So they just had their grand opening of that. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions, Robert Ritchie. We have Family Guardian. Yes. We had one guest. I think we're having two more.
Yeah.
Yes. We have Bahamas Development Bank. And we have Sherwin-Williams. Thank you so, so, so much for working with us and supporting this effort, because we don't even have to give out the phone numbers anymore because everybody knows the phone numbers. But maybe you should, Leonard.
Yeah, we probably need to give the phone number. So if you want to call in and join and be a part of the conversation, the numbers you can call are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And from the Family Islands is 242-300-5720. And you can send a text to us, powered by BTC, which is 422-GR96 or 422-4796. Thank you, BTC.
Yes.
So continuing with our conversation, Debbie, about practical solutions for rain and flooding. So we talked about your little floodgate, and I like to call it that. You should patent that. It's called a floodgate. So deep wells. Communities could, you know, invest in deep wells. And again, we're not telling you have to do it. It's just some practical ideas.
Just suggestions.
Suggestions you could look at. And then also, so that's if you're in existing situations. The final thing you have to look at is before I buy. And this is crazy because I jog in the Coral Harbor area and I'm seeing houses under construction. And it's flooding, and the entire foundation is almost underwater. And I'm thinking to myself, this will not stop when you live here. Okay? But when I look at it, the road is here, and the site is down there.
Why?
You may want to fill up your site to the road first and then start construction. So the road is here.
Aren't you supposed to build?
And the site is here.
when I first started, it was 15 inches above the center of the road. Mm-hmm. I think it's 21 now or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are way down here, mm-hmm. how did you even get to buy that property to build on?
Well, you bought it and you figure you can bring your foundation up high enough, but that's kind of tricky. What I would suggest, why don't you fill your site first, get it even with the road or so, mm-hmm. then start your construction.
Unless there's people on the side of you that haven't built their property.
They haven't built theirs either.
And then that's, you're going to put a
retaining wall to hold that in.
Otherwise, it's going to be in the neighbor's yard, and then you're going to have to buy more fill to help them build their foundation.
Yeah, no, but
I'm just joking.
I'm looking at that. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's always going to be a problem.
Wow.
Unless you kind of
bring your site up. You know, when I was building, it would be if you saw that the area was kind of low, you'd build the foundation at least 4 feet above that. And then you had really nice steps going down.
And that was, you know, that's the crazy thing with global warming.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay.
Yeah.
It's no longer okay. Oh, I know. You need more than that now.
I know, but it's way more than some of these people have, yeah, right?
You need more than 48 inches now. Right. Out of the ground, you'll find that 48 inches might, in some instances, just take you to road height.
But I still believe we need to do pier and pad foundations so that we can get high enough up. We could use under the main base that you would drive into mm-hmm. that would be your carport or garage, mm-hmm. your laundry room, your whatever. I mean, you could make it really pretty underneath, but it blows out in a hurricane and the rest of the house stays.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way we're going to have to look at, because this isn't going to change anytime soon.
No.
Climate change, we've already peaked. We've already peaked at where we're supposed to be.
Really?
Yes.
But the president said climate change is a hoax, so I don't know. Maybe we'll be okay.
Well, not our president, so he can say whatever he wants to. Our prime minister is still fighting for us.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, this is a crazy time to be alive. So you got flooding coming. We shouldn't have to address. I just fussed Avery about this. He showed me a picture of his office, where the new lumber company is in Eleuthera. And it doesn't have impact resistant windows. I mean, Avery, how do you build your site office in your trailer and you don't have an impact resistant windows? The first thing's gonna blow in is that, or you can put plywood over it. But Avery, come on now. So, but the public knows the importance of having impact resistant windows. And again, I do say impact resistant windows. You can get hurricane impact resistant windows, but you could start with just impact resistant windows, better than just plate glass windows that we've been getting for the last 40 mm-hmm. years.
Yeah.
And then further to that, as we see the heavy rains approaching, tarps are coming out, and you're seeing them too. So you had the hole here. Yeah. You know the rain was coming. Please make the necessary repairs to your roof.
Right.
You know that nobody wants to be in a house with pots and buckets all over their house because you know the roof is leaking.
Right.
Please address your roof.
And if you're going to build, please God, build a minimum of a 6-12 pitch.
So water flows off it quickly.
I like a 10-12 pitch myself.
I like a 10-12 pitch
because you can then use that for another space. But for anybody listening who may not know what that means, it just means that the pitch is higher so the water comes off faster. So there's nowhere where water could pond. 4-12 is what was traditional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it still is. But it sometimes slows down and
it can't get underneath
the shingles and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so...
The interesting thing about it is it does the building code does give a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
It will not, the building code does set a minimum. That's what I talked about the code.
4-12 is the minimum for residential.
No, three is.
Three is. Not a prayer. It wouldn't be me.
Three is. Water will move. The goal is not to have water sit.
Yeah.
3-12, the water will move. It will move fast, but it will move. 4-12 moves more, 5-12 moves more, 6-7-8-10, 12-12.
The longer the water is on the roof, though, the more damage it's going to deteriorate a lot faster.
Yeah, and it has an opportunity to go under the underlayments and all kinds of other things, of course. But, you know, I schooled inside Florida, North Florida, so they don't have pitch roofs there. They have a lot of flat roofs.
Ugh.
So if you have a lot of, you know, the right membrane roofing mm-hmm. and drain and gutters, what people don't understand it. Even when you have a flat roof,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a drain system to collect the water and get it off the roof.
Right. Mm-hmm.
People think flat roofs are like swimming pools. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They collect the water and drain it out.
Correct.
If your drain gets clogged on your roof,
then you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. It's going to leak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, there are buildings, all the hotels are flat roofs and things around here, so they have lots of drains on the roof. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting if you go up in there and you see.
It is
designed to catch water and divert the water down through gutters and what's not. But it's a very sophisticated system.
And it's a more expensive system. So
it is.
You can do that. But
and
for
it
the
has
average,
to be maintained, Debbie.
Yeah, but for the
someone average, has to go up there and clear the drains all the time.
Right. But for the average person.
You can't afford
if
that.
If you go from 412 to 612, so you've got a really nice run.
Yeah.
It's probably only going to be about maybe 10 or 11 inches
longer.
Inches
more foot lumber,
so
yeah.
It's not going to cost you gobs of money, and you're going to have a pretty roof, and the water's going to run off dead fast.
Yeah. And back to my original point. You know, I talk about situations that I witness mm-hmm. that work. And I only talk about it because then I compare it to situations that
don't work.
No, don't exist.
Oh.
So I was speaking to Avery from mm-hmm. ART, and he was talking about how there's a crucial need for rental housing in South Eleuthera mm-hmm. because they built this thing down there, which is great, called Lido's Point, mm-hmm. which employs a ton of people mm-hmm. from Nassau mm-hmm. and Grand Bahama uh-huh. and Eleuthera mm-hmm. and outside the country. But the problem is, because of the lack of housing on the property, a lot of the buildings on site are used as staff housing.
Right.
You know, just because they need a certain amount of people for the cruise ships. It's great. Here's the challenge, though. It's a loss on them because that available space that they can't rent because they have to put staff in there was not.
Right, because daily rental is way more than monthly rental.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
more work, though.
The opportunity there, like mm-hmm. he said, is for someone to build housing near mm-hmm. and around South Eleuthera. Bannerman Town area, mm-hmm. Rock Sound area, South.
Great
opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now, I compare it to this scenario, and I can speak about Albany. Mm-hmm. Albany has the resort. Mm-hmm. It has the residential living, and it has a school. You know where the teachers, almost 99% of the teachers live who work at the school?
In the school. I'm joking.
No. In the residential community they built for the school.
Oh.
They built staff housing.
Well, that's smart.
Yes, it is. So when I talk about stuff that I see work.
Because thinking of
because I saw it work.
Having to, like me, no, having to come from
there's
east
no commute.
To go there, yeah. That's way better.
They built about, say, 15 duplex style mm-hmm. townhouse buildings. Mm-hmm. And each, think one part of duplex has two teachers in it. Mm-hmm. So you're housing four sets of teachers per part.
Right.
You have about 10 to 12 of those buildings. Mm-hmm. You have 40 teachers right there mm-hmm. who didn't have to go out the gate and come out the gate, commute up and down, figure out how to get.
Yeah, there's a little grocery
it was
store
right at the school.
Yeah, wow.
But that's how you plan stuff.
But that's what urban planning is all
that's
about.
That's what you do.
Yes.
You think about it. Mm-hmm. You say, this is what I need. This is what would make sense for my thing, and I do it. Mm-hmm. So I want the public to understand that construction is born out of someone's ingenuity,
and the
determining
need,
a plan.
And the need for something.
And then the need for, and at yes. the time, a lot of contractors are there building these parts, and this guy had one to build, and this one had two to build, and it was a buzz of activity. It's completed now. Mm-hmm. But that's what drove the contractors in there, because there was stuff to do.
Right.
Someone has to think about stuff mm-hmm. to create work for us. So mm-hmm. we love the architects, the engineers, the city planners, because if they don't think what stuff to do and develop things to do, we don't get stuff to do.
Yeah. So when a new subdivision is being done, right, and if you were in Canada or the States, you wouldn't just build the subdivision. Well, okay, so about a gazillion years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth,
mm-hmm.
they built a Volkswagen plant north of Barrie.
Mm-hmm. In Canada.
In Canada, mm-hmm. and this is in Ontario, right? Because they needed the plant.
Mm-hmm.
But they also knew that they needed
people,
and the people needed food, and mm-hmm. they needed banks, and they needed a gas station and a pharmacy, and they needed schools, and they needed all that. So they basically built the entire community up there.
Really?
So it's like a 60-mile drive mm-hmm. from Toronto. So, you know, you'd go up to Barrie to see things and do stuff. And, mm-hmm. and if you were working, some people would drive the commute, but most people didn't want to do that.
They live inside Barrie. Yeah.
It was to the point where everything, they knew what they needed, mm-hmm. and they needed it to be far enough away mm-hmm. because it was industrial and all that kind of stuff. And they just planned it all out. That's proper urban planning.
Yeah, we don't do that.
That's proper urban. Yeah,
we don't do that.
Proper.
Urban. We would put a clinic on a family island in a spot where nothing else is, and then figure out how people are going to get to it.
Because most people don't have vehicles. A lot of them, you drive in Anderson, the people are walking, asking you for a ride.
So again, I'm not bashing,
no.
But I have to make the obvious observations, mm-hmm. and then and like my comment to you was, let's be honest about where we are. Mm-hmm. Let's not continue to delude ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can do a lot of things better. And finally, the politician is a member of our society. So let me help. This is my personal opinion, I'm telling you. The first thing we could do good for ourselves, let's stop deifying regular people with jobs just like you have a job. Your job is construction. My job is project management, construction. And their job is legislature. Mm-hmm. That's the job.
Right. That's what
being a politician to create is what they do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The job is legislating. Mm-hmm. Now, they could be good at legislating. That doesn't mean that they're better than you at whatever you do. Mm-hmm. So understand that it does not make sense to assume that they're right about everything. They could be right about why a law gets passed and understanding that, but they can't be right about your solutions for your flooding, because where did they go and study that?
Well, also, they are members of parliament that have an area that they actually are supposed to be taking care of, right? So, like I said before, I have to ask my best friend Google questions on a regular basis because mm-hmm. I don't want wrong information. I want right information. I want to know how to do it properly.
Properly.
With mm-hmm. And I even put in when I'm asking questions, how do I avoid A, B, C, and D, and E when I want to do this? So that
I love ChatGPT.
They will tell me everything, yes, right? Sir. And that's basically what we don't do
here.
We
don't do that.
We don't do that.
And I think part of the challenges with the construction industry, and I want to kind of say this about what I don't like. I don't like the fact that what you said mm-hmm. is no one considers that that's what we do.
Oh.
No one considers that that's what we do. They think we just somehow just get up and do a door and get up and pitch a roof and just do. There is thought mm-hmm. that goes in. Many people don't appreciate, and I have to speak for the contract. The construction of anything doesn't start that morning. Oh. Debbie, when did you start thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow? Today. In your job, where you go to, you start your job when you show up.
I already have my notes.
We're the only job where we start something today, yesterday. We start tomorrow's activity today. Mm-hmm. We start on our side. We have a 2-week look ahead. We're talking about what we're doing 2 weeks from now mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. We have a quarterly look ahead. We have a yearly. We have a 5-year. We have a 10-year for the entire site.
But you have to. If you're in private sector, you have to, because
that's how the cycles work in.
It is, yeah.
We don't just show up and do. Mm-hmm. And so I say that to say, when people engage construction, and I tell people all the time, I can tell you about a contractor mm-hmm. on day one. If on day one, you come to the site and he's not there because he's out running for supplies, probably not a good contractor. How long did you sign the contract? Get mobilized and know what you need to have. By the time I start the job, my site office is already established, my materials are already inside the shed, my layout is already done, and day one we're working. Mm-hmm. The prep, and we call this in preliminary stuff inside construction. Right. There's a project going on right now by the airport. And it's something for really lovers of construction to observe. Let me tell you what I noticed in about 3 months. They cleared the site. Mm-hmm. when it was only brought out, they cleared the site and graded the site. Then I saw equipment shows up. No, before equipment. I see they stage the red iron steel for the building, the big Butler building type building.
Okay.
Those are staged on the site. Then I saw blocks now staged. Then the final thing, guess what showed up? Equipment. Crane showed up. Telehandler showed up. Flat truck showed up. X, Y, and Z. Daisy chain. The whole deal. Now you know it starts. Now that all the materials on the site, the equipment is on the site, now the people will show up to survey and lay out the site and begin construction. That's how you know someone knows how to build. Now you imagine you the other way. You come to the site, you lay out and stuff, then you order materials, you're sitting and waiting because the steel is in the country, so you're waiting for that to arrive, then you got to go and order the blocks and you're waiting for that to arrive. So all you've done is laid out the site.
But one thing that we do have as a problem is when you have all your material on site, you need a security person.
Oh, well, it's on the airport fence and property.
Oh, it's on the airport.
It's on the air side. Yeah.
I understand that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you worry about coming there in the morning
and meeting everything gone. Mm-hmm. No, this is on just north and south of the domestic flight terminal.
Oh, okay.
The charter flight terminal.
Yeah, yeah.
They created two new airplane hangars.
Okay, cool.
To put those airplanes that you always see outside.
Cool, yeah.
They're going to now be inside. Yeah, they created two large buildings. So, again, that conversation is that's how you, and I want the public to pay more attention when they see construction. Now, for example, there's been construction going on across the street from the Ministry of Town Planning for a long time. Here's what I appreciate about America, and I don't like a lot of things about America.
You mean the BTC building?
The old BTC building.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing America does,
mm-hmm.
whenever there's a commercial project, there's a construction signboard.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you what the project is.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you who the contract is, who the architect firm mm-hmm. is, who the engineering firm is.
Mm-hmm.
It even goes into the project of who commissioned it. Is it the city building?
That's a law.
Yeah.
Right. We need that because we don't know who's doing anything.
No one... And we don't even know who to call
and ask questions about if this person is cutting down the hill or taking down all the trees.
If it caught fire in the night, who would you call? Outside of the fire department. You see, that law makes sense.
It does make sense because you need to know
everything. You need to know everything. And so
the community now. Shouldn't be a secret.
No, but it has a benefit like you mm-hmm. talked about what happened in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that building is going to be the new home for that example, for the teachers, I'm thinking about what teachers need. Now, I'm a business person,
right.
and I want to now think, I can rent the building across the street, mm-hmm. or I want to build the building next to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know until it opens up. So I'm now another 2 years from putting a business that I could have been working on, in tandem with this building was being built.
Right.
That
like
is something
store,
that
a pharmacy.
That is something that we need to make
right
law mm-hmm. for any project that happens. And you could go to a residential project. You go there. Mm-hmm. It'll say who the contractor is,
mm-hmm.
who the architect is, who the engineer, city planning approval number.
Because all we have is a spray permit number. Yeah, I know.
But it doesn't tell you anything. So this is where I end by saying that's you always want to tell where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the gap between what happens in another developing country and what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
And now consider how close to them you think you are.
Right.
So again, I go back to my point.
Yeah.
The Bahamas and its politicians and the leaders need to sit small, be careful with the conversation they have about developed nations when you think we are that. We're not that.
No.
We are where we are. Can we get there? Absolutely.
Yes.
But let's not lie to the public about where we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
When we see the easiest things happen like nothing in the States,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have nothing close to that here, that's the gap between a first world nation and where we currently are, somewhere between third and sixth. I don't know.
Yeah.
On some things.
Yeah.
I still can't get over the fact that you can't tell a tourist when a bus is going to show up.
Yes.
I can't get over the fact there are no identifiable bus routes that you could point to and say, hey, this bus goes here. You're expecting a tourist to just know that 16A takes you to Michael Road.
Yeah.
Like they live here. Like it's the most lowest hanging fruit we haven't figured yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to go inside the United Nations and have these toe-to-toe conversation with nations would have done that 200 years ago. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Let's really, really understand the gap between where we want to be and where we actually truly are.
Right.
I think that's me for today.
Well, it looks like we're going to have one more call.
I'm trying to be gracious, but yes. I look at things from a project management deliverable standpoint, and if there's things that you can do, work out a plan to doing them and get it done.
And if you can't, hire somebody.
Hire somebody who can. That's the final call for the day for our producer. Let us get this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
I'm just calling again to applaud you both for being so transparent, because that's the word I want to say. If there is transparency in everything that we do and there's forward planning, then the things that you described will be done.
Mm-hmm.
But we are usually on a 4-year cycle or a 2-year cycle, waiting on government to change, and then things do happen for a short while or expedited at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes on a lull.
And then nothing else happens.
Yeah. I think one thing that Leonard and I have learned in our lifetime of being in construction and just being on this earth is there's no reason to be anything but transparent. I mean, if everything is a secret, you're never going to get anywhere.
No.
And you really need, that's what we do on this show. We give you everything that we've learned. We teach you. We tell you the information. If you want to call us, you can call us. We'll, you know, amplify it. We'll go to your site. Well, I will anyway. Go to your site or go to your house, because that's just what I believe God put me here for a reason, is to make a difference and pass it on, and that's what I'm doing. But transparency eliminates all the garbage that you're going to go through if you're not transparent, in my opinion.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, caller. Debbie, yep. We've come to the end of another show. I want to give you a chance to give your closing thoughts. I did about 12 minutes of closing thoughts, so now you can take it.
I got 30 seconds.
Yeah, you got 30 seconds. I had 12 minutes. You can go.
When we have the talent to do absolutely anything and everything in this country. It's been persons that are working at NASA. It's the persons that have gone away to school and at the ages of like 16, 17 mm-hmm. years old, getting mm-hmm. master's degrees
and being amazing.
Aging. Mm-hmm. You know, we have football players that have become major surgeons. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it, we have leading the leagues and talent, MVPs, the whole deal. Right, but talent shows that we actually have the stamina and the mm-hmm. ability to actually be very determined on what we want mm-hmm. to do. Because mm-hmm. to be in sports, I tell you, because I have 2 grandkids that are in everything.
They're in every sport.
They're always busy and they never stop. We can do it, but we have to start taking everything seriously. We cannot continue to just go, oh, well, somebody else will do it. No, somebody else won't do it. We really have to take anything that you can actually do yourself without having to hound government to do it. Do it.
Yeah.
There's no real reason why we don't have, why we can't just, we have to just always say, well, government should do that. Well, they're not, so let's figure out how to do it. This is the country for all of us, for our kids and our grandkids. We cannot take a little bit of time out instead of watching a movie or getting on your computer or playing on your cell phone. Could we not take some time and actually just figure out how we could get this done for ourselves? I think that, to me, is very important.
Yeah, I think that's a
great
point. We have to teach our
children that is what you need to do. You can't sit back and wait for everybody to hand it to you. It's not like Christmas where you go to the tree and there's presents. It's not that.
But on a closing point, and I do think that that's the right approach, on the closing point too, if someone has a job to do,
mm-hmm.
we should demand that they do it.
Well, because they demand we do it.
And they demand that we pay for the things that they don't do. And mm-hmm. so I know I was engaged, and this is the final closing thought. I was engaged in a number of chats, I call them discussions,
mm-hmm.
Courageous discussions on Facebook. And one of the persons commented, you know, you guys are sitting around talking about the portals. Why don't you get some dirt and stuff and put it in the portal? And I'm thinking to myself, I pay taxes for the government to maintain the roads. If I pay taxes for the government to maintain the roads, and I maintain the roads too, what do I need the government? And do I get the money back? And do I then control the budget of Ministry of Public Works? You know, so no, I'm not going to maintain the roads for the government for what they take the tax out without giving it to them. It's already embedded in every service. Yeah. So do the job.
Yeah.
The citizen only demand that you do the job.
That's it.
And I'm not making excuses for my demand on you doing the job. Mm-hmm. Well, let's find someone who can.
Yes.
And that's it for our show today.
Yep.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.
Enjoy the night. Stay dry.
See you next Thursday.
Now it's the two of us again. Against the wind. Against the wind. When it rains.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
In years following independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has carried out our mandate of expanding and diversifying the nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south. Our clients come from all sectors of domestic industry. We are proud to support local manufacturing, technology, agricultural projects, and creative works that draw from our native heritage. We will continue to finance inter-island transport from the mailboats of yesterday to the ships of the future. Let us power the possibilities of the new economy together. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website at www.bdb.gov.bs to complete your application today.